So it's obvious from all this that these four incidents, the incident of the victory over Mara, the incident of the calling the earth goddess to witness, the incident, thirdly, of Brahma's request, and lastly, the Muchalinda incident, all these incidents, all four of them, have a deep psychological and spiritual significance. They're not pseudo history, not just a fairy tale. For even fairy tales have a significance, as we know now. But they're all invested with a very powerful symbolic archetypal meaning. And going a little further, we may say that the four main figures with which we've been concerned form a very definite set. There's Mara, the evil one. There's the earth goddess, Vasundhara. There's Brahma, and there's Muchalinda, in that order. And the order in which they appear, the order of their appearance, is rather interesting. And I'm going to draw what some people may feel a bold analogy, but I think it has great significance and suggestiveness. It seems to me that these four figures, Mara, the evil one, the earth goddess, Brahma, Muchalinda, represent, or at least corresponds to some extent, the four principal archetypes according to Jung. And their appearance in this particular order represents, it seems to me, a sort of integration of these contents into the conscious mind. In other words, their appearance, the appearance of these four figures in that particular order, represents what Jung calls the individuation process. Mara, of course, corresponds to what Jung calls the shadow, that darker side of ourselves of which we're ashamed, which we usually try to keep under. The earth goddess represents the anima. The Buddha being a man has an anima. In the case of a woman, it would be an animus. Brahma represents the archetype of the wise old man. He's represented in Buddhist art with white hair and a beard, as a sort of God the Father figure. And Muchalinda is, of course, the archetype of the young hero. So it does seem, in fact it seems clear, that these four principal figures, in these four archetypally symbolical incidents in the Buddha's biography, correspond to these four main archetypes of Jung's analytical psychology. There's also correspondence with the principal figures of Christian mythology. Mara equals Satan. The earth goddess equals the Virgin Mary. Brahma equals God, and Muchalinda equals Christ. I don't think this is too far-fetched. I think if we study these things carefully, go into them deeply, we shall see the correspondence, the analogy. And in Tantric Buddhism, there's a similar set. There's the guardian, the protector, as he's sometimes called, the Dakini, the Guru, and the Yidam. And we may return to this particular set in the course of a subsequent lecture. Now, though I've drawn these comparisons, though I've described these analogies, there's a very great difference of principle between the Buddhist and the Christian approaches to or attitudes towards their respective archetypes or the archetypes of their respective traditions. In Buddhism, it's always clearly, even categorically stated, that all these things, all these phenomena, all these appearances, all these archetypal forms, are phenomena ultimately of one's own true mind, all projections from one's own unconscious, and all to be integrated. But in Christianity, their archetypes, Christ, Virgin Mary, and so on, these are regarded as objectively existing beings. So within that sort of context, it isn't possible fully to resolve them. You can't really resolve an archetype in the sense of incorporating it as representing unconscious contents into your conscious mind, your conscious attitude, or your new personality, your new self, unless you realize that it isn't, in the last analysis, something objectively existent, but something which you have projected from some depth, from some hidden source within yourself. So therefore, with this limitation, on account of this limitation, in the Christian tradition, normally, with the exception perhaps of a few heretical mystics, there's no full resolution of the archetypal figures. But in Buddhism, on account of this more deeply metaphysical and spiritual background, such a resolution is possible. All the archetypes can be drawn back into one's own conscious mind, conscious attitude, integrated there to enrich and perfect and beautify it. In other words, the individuation process can be carried to its absolute conclusion, or enlightenment, to use the traditional language, can be attained. Now today, we've touched on only a very few of the archetypal symbols occurring in the biography of the Buddha. I would like to have mentioned many more. I would have liked, for instance, to have said something about the Buddha's begging bowl. Now, there are many legends about the Buddha's begging bowl, some of them very interesting indeed. In fact, we may say without any exaggeration that the Buddha's begging bowl occupies in Buddhist legend, myth, history, a position analogous to that of the Holy Grail in Christianity, and very much the same sort of significance. But we've no time this evening to go into all this.